And we saw where Jesus Christ, who humbled himself to the point of death, therefore also God highly exalted on and bestowed on him the name above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow. It's a quote of Isaiah. And that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You see, Jesus rose. And there are some who just kind of ignore it. There are some who are hostile to that truth. Paul begins the Romans with this thought. Jesus, the gospel's about his son Jesus, who was human. He was the seed of David, and he was declared with power to be God by the resurrection from the dead.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we continue our series from the book of Acts. Pastor Scott brings a message titled Paul Before Festus, and we invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
And I'll say it again, even more so, really, when we come to Agrippa and Bernice, you're talking flashy, glamour people in the magazines, but inside, oh, and what was really going on, very, very sad. And you know, I reiterate the Herod clan, Herod the Great, that built so much of this infrastructure, the great-grandfather of this Agrippa, the one who slaughtered the babies in Bethlehem trying to kill Jesus. Herod the Great. I've been reading devotionally in Revelation. I've been spending quite a bit of time in that last book of the Bible. And I came this week, maybe, in fact, some of you are abiding, you know, fallen is Babylon the Great. And I thought of that Herod the Great, Alexander the Great, Babylon the Great. Herod's family, what a mess it was. You know, it was this Agrippa's great uncle that beheaded John and mocked our Lord, put a robe of purple on him, and mocked and scorned him, yet was curious. He wanted to see him, wanted to hear about him. It's sobering to think of who these people really are, and these Hollywood types, you know, you could just kind of think, I probably shouldn't say it, but you could just kind of think, when you think of Bernice and Drusilla and the Herods and Felix, you could kind of think Kardashian, you know, and you just go, oh boy. Well, anyway, 14, let's read on. While they were spending many days there, Festus laid Paul's case before the king. He was considered sort of an expert in Judaism. Herod was, this Agrippa. So Festus brought Paul's case before the king after a few days. There's a certain man left a prisoner by Felix. And when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews brought charges against him, asking for a sentence of condemnation upon him. And I answered them that it's not the custom of the Romans to hand over any man before the accused meets his accusers face to face and has an opportunity to make his defense against the charges. And so after they had assembled here, I made no delay, but on the next day took my seat on the tribunal and ordered this man to be brought. And when the accuser stood up, I got to tell you, King Agrippa, he's telling, you know, King Agrippa, when the accuser stood up, they began bringing charges against him, not of such crimes as I was expecting, but they simply had some points of disagreement with him about their own religion and about a certain dead man, Jesus, whom Paul asserted to be alive. Festus has had the most important issue of life brought to his case. Felix did too. When Paul spoke, he spoke about faith in Christ. He spoke of sin, righteousness, and judgment. When he defended himself, he always brought the cross into bear, you know. And Felix and Festus had heard the most important issue of life. And note, look at verse 19. They just simply had some points of disagreement with him about their own religion and about this certain man named Jesus, whom Paul asserted to be alive. And, you know, the resurrection. Paul says this certain man, Jesus, is alive. They say he's dead. And it just kind of, to Festus, that's about as much impact as it had. Do you know people like that? Are you here today like that? I had the opportunity this week to talk to two different men. Well, actually three, but one individual and then a pair of men. And I find that we've seen all the way through this, haven't we, that Paul is God's chosen instrument to bear my name. And he not only bore the name of Jesus, but he spoke of faith in Christ Jesus. And when he spoke of faith in Christ Jesus, he got to the cross and he explained sin, righteousness, and judgment. And he always spoke about the resurrection. You think about it. He did before Felix. He did before Festus. He's going to before Agrippa. He spoke of the resurrection. At Athens, they said, Jesus and the resurrection. What are you talking about? Paul asserts this Jesus to be alive. The whole book of Acts, and by the way, the whole theme of history is Jesus and the resurrection. And we have the opportunity to bear that truth. And I was speaking to a couple of men, like a couple different settings, I guess, three men. But the first one was a man of science, and we have a good relationship. And I've talked to him several times, but haven't gotten to the issue. So I got to the issue, and I asked him about his own spiritual condition. And we talked, and I have to say that when I spoke of the resurrection, I felt like I was pushing water uphill, if you know what I mean. It was just like, the what? You know? And I said, now, millions of people worship him as one who arose. I do. And that helped a little bit, but still, it felt kind of Festus-like. You know what I mean? It's kind of, there's some certain dead man, Jesus, that Paul says is alive. And then the other setting, I was actually doing some yard work yesterday, and it felt like it was going to rain, but it didn't, you know. And I was out there, and I was out on the driveway, kind of, I think I was looking at the wheelbarrow trying to stay up, you know. I can't remember, but I remember just looking up, and all of a sudden there were two men in my driveway. And they invited me to some religious gathering, and I saw on the religious gathering that I said, well, I worship Jehovah. And they said, oh, well, good. Maybe you'd like to come. And I said, no, I worship Jehovah. Well, then you'd probably like to come to this meeting we're inviting, everybody in the neighborhood we're inviting to. And I said, well, do you worship Jehovah? Oh, yes, we do. I said, well, I worship Jesus Christ. Do you? Well, he's the Son of God. We worship, we honor him. I said, do you worship him? I do. And he said, no, we don't. I said, oh, really? And they said, have you talked to us before? And I said, not you. They used their name. Have you talked to Jehovah's Witnesses before? And I said, well, yeah. And I said, well, maybe can we be of any help, any further understanding for you? Maybe we should just move on. And I just said, no, let's talk. And it was starting to rain. And so anyway, I said, what do you do? I'm curious. I said, what was your first name again? And he told me. And I said, I'm curious, what do you do with all the passages where Jesus Christ received worship? And I said, you know, I'm reading the book of Revelation right now. I said, and I saw that John got so overwhelmed with what he saw in the last of the Bible that he felt to worship the angel. And you know what the angel said? And he said, no. I said, get up! Don't worship me. I'm a fellow servant. And then he kind of, yeah, okay. And I said, but Jesus was always receiving worship and blessing people for it. What do you do with that? I don't know about that, but I think we have to be on our way. And I said, well, wait a minute, though. This is pretty serious, isn't it? Who you worship? And I looked him in the eye. I said, who you worship is the most important. He said, oh, it's the most important thing. I said, it is, isn't it? He said, I'll give you 30 seconds. I said, 30 seconds for your eternity? And I said, would you look at just one passage for me? And he said, okay. So he had his iPad, and it was raining, and he couldn't get the thing to work. So his young teammate grabbed his phone, and we stepped out of the rain under the eave, and we turned to Isaiah 45, and I had him read how Jehovah is a very jealous God. He says, there's no other God but me, the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah. And I swear by myself that every knee will bend and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, will swear allegiance to me, that only in the Lord is salvation, you know. And so he read that and I said, did you get that? He said, we've got to go, the other guy. And I said, will you look up one more passage? Okay, that's when he said 30 seconds. He was already eager, but he said 30 seconds at that point. And I said, okay, but don't start the clock yet while he's finding Philippians. And the young guy kind of laughed. The other guy didn't think it was funny. But he's fiddling with his phone to get to Philippians, and he got to it, and we saw where Jesus Christ, who humbled himself to the point of death, therefore also God highly exalted on and bestowed on him the name above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow. It's a quote of Isaiah. And that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I said, what do you do with that? And he was very nervous as I spoke of the resurrection, that God raised him up and declared him to be the Son of God. You see, Jesus rose. And there are some who just kind of ignore it. There are some who are hostile to that truth. Paul begins the Romans with this thought. Jesus, the gospel's about his son Jesus, who was human. He was the seed of David, and he was declared with power to be God by the resurrection from the dead. Verse 4. And that's where Paul always started, and this is where we should start, talking about Jesus. Faith in Jesus. Jesus and the resurrection. Well, you will find that not everyone wants to hear about it, but Festus, to him it was just kind of notice, a point of disagreement about religious stuff, and his intellectual pride actually causes him, we'll get to it next week, I'll just glance ahead. If you're not reading Acts, you should be, in the sense of reading this book in context so that it becomes so much more. But next chapter, this same scene, Festus is going to ridicule this idea. But the whole answer to life is in front of him. And he says, well, Paul asserts him to be alive. The Jews say he's dead. And that's about as far as he takes. Only spiritual blindness can account for people getting nervous, not wanting to talk about it, or just kind of treating it like, or getting hostile to the fact that God raised Jesus from the dead and he's coming back. He's coming back. Well, verse 20. Being at a loss how to investigate such matters, I asked whether he was willing to go to Jerusalem and there stand trial on these matters. But when Paul appealed to be held in custody for the emperor's decision, I decided to keep him and be kept in custody until I send him to Caesar. And Agrippa said to Festus, I'd like to hear from this man myself tomorrow. And he said, tomorrow you'll hear him. We'll set it up. Agrippa said, I'd kind of like to hear this guy myself. Well, on the next day, when Agrippa had come together with Bernice amid great pomp and had entered the auditorium accompanied by commanders and prominent men of the city at the command of Festus, it was a black tie affair. It really isn't a courtroom scene, what we're going to look at next week, but it's this great pomp and everybody puts on their robes and everybody dressed in uniform, high dress uniform, you know. The whole city turns out because Agrippa's here and Festus, and it's kind of like a sporting event, really. They're going to hear, and Paul probably wouldn't have had to even come if he didn't want to. He's appealed to Caesar, but he's going to get a great opportunity before this pomp and royalty. And Festus said to King Agrippa, after Paul was brought in, you can imagine Paul being brought in. I don't think he was in striped clothes, you know, but he probably had fluorescent orange on. You know what I mean? It was just like everybody else. It was a black tie affair, and here comes Paul in handcuffs or chains, and he's the prisoner. But you know, Paul is the prisoner of the Lord. He always calls himself that. And anyway, Festus said, King Agrippa and all you gentlemen here present with us, you behold this man about whom all the people of the Jews appealed to me, both at Jerusalem and here, loudly declaring that he ought not to live any longer. But I found that he committed nothing worthy of death. And since he himself appealed to the emperor, I decided to send him. Yet I've nothing definite about him to write to my Lord. Therefore, I have brought him before you all, and especially before you, King Agrippa, so that after the investigation has taken place, I may have something to write. For it seems absurd to me, in sending a prisoner, not to indicate also the charges against him. Well, there were some charges, but they didn't hold any water. And they certainly wouldn't merit going before Caesar. And so Festus is sort of in a dilemma. He's saying, and he's honest about it. He says, I got to write something up. I mean, it seems crazy to just send this man. And so Agrippa, could you help? And they've got this event that we'll look at more closely next week. Can I just give us very briefly some take home from this? Don't expect a level playing field. I think a lot of bitterness, a lot of angst, a lot of worry, a lot of things in my life and in your life would go away if we took Jesus seriously when he said, don't expect better treatment than I got. We might not get a fair shake. Paul was innocent. It was declared here two or three times. And it's going to be declared next week. But he's still in prison, and he's still in chains, and he's, we expect justice, and we're not going to get justice as such until the just one comes. Secondly, disobedience does have consequences. We look back and we think, was this Paul flawless? No, he'd be the first to say, we've all sinned. And should he have been in Jerusalem to begin with? I don't know. You can debate me on that. But I will say this, he's in chains for 2 years. Disobedience has consequences, and now he's still in chains and he's going to go to Rome. Don't ever take it lightly that God is sovereign and he's able to work these things out, and so just go ahead and plunge into a bad marriage or disobey God in any other way. It has consequences. It has real consequences. Thirdly, and closely tied to this, God's word will be accomplished. He's a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, before Jews, and before kings. God is able to use our broken lives, and he does. Has God said, and will it not be? Has he spoken, and will it not come to pass? You know who said that? Balaam. In Numbers, I think it's 23, that false prophet was forced to say, God's going to get his work done. I can't break it. I can't go against him. When God speaks, it's as good as done. Jesus said on the night in which he was betrayed, I've told you before it comes to pass, that when it comes to pass, you may believe. Praise God, he accomplishes his word. And he does what he says he'll do. And you and I should bask in that every day of the week. He's going to finish what he started in you. He's going to cause all things to work together for your good. Fourth, it's infinitely better to be in the middle of God's will than to be in the best of worldly circumstances. It's infinitely better to be in the worst of circumstances, a prisoner for Christ, standing there in your orange fluorescent, you know, than to be amid that glimmer and glamour and glitter of this world. And people all around us who think, the world thinks, you might think they've got it all together. They're hurting. And if they're not hurting now, they will be soon. But the headlines, you know, Kate Spade and that celebrity chef a couple days later, suicides just this week. Had it all. Sold that little startup company for, I think it was $5 million. And her name just alone, I didn't know her name, but every woman in this room does, you know. But really, she took her life. People are hurting. It's, you know that old bumper sticker, the worst day fishing is better than the best day at work or something like that. I often think of that. I don't care where God has you. If you're walking with God, you're better off than if you were at the pinnacle of success. And we've seen two or three ways here, and we're going to see another one next week to avoid the gospel. Felix, when I have time, Festus, a certain dead man. And we're going to see Agrippa. There's 100 ways to avoid the gospel. Don't you do it. If today, if you hear his voice, don't procrastinate. Don't marginalize this great event. Some say he rose from the dead. I don't know what to think of it. Don't make it like pushing water uphill to get to your heart. Jesus Christ came for you and he died in your place and he rose again. And today, if you will believe in the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved. And finally, I'll leave it at this. You and I are, Christian, chosen instruments of God Almighty. He wants to bear his name before your neighbors today and tomorrow and this summer. Before your co-workers, you and I have the huge privilege of bearing his name in a day when I know his name is anathema to many. It was in that day. But there's that coming day very soon when every knee will bow to the name above every other name. Oh, what a privilege to bear his name. Let's do it with glory. Let's be vessels, quote Paul, instruments of honor, purified, useful to the master. Father, I thank you that we are called to this same calling that you used Paul. Each of us have a different path to follow, and you put us in our circumstances for your good purposes, but we know we're to bear your name. And so, Lord, we thank you for this, and we pray that this week you'd give us more opportunities. And, Lord, I pray that we'd take those opportunities to bear your name, to tell about the resurrection, to seek to point others to Jesus and the resurrection. Amen.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled Paul Before Festus, a message from our study of the book of Acts. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. On the front page of our website, you'll see a link to the Romans Project. Now, we're very excited about the work God is doing through this ministry. We invite you to learn more about it. Continually growing to nearly 25,000 pastors involved throughout 25 countries, including Liberia, Sierra Leone, Myanmar, the Philippines. We've seen tremendous growth since the project's inception back in 2005. To learn more, navigate to downtownbible.org or connect with us at facebook.com/Romans Project. Scott Gilchrist also leads a weekly Bible study in Portland that shares the name of this radio program, Downtown Bible Class. 150 to 250 people meet every Wednesday at the Portland Art Museum for great teaching and a complimentary lunch buffet. It's a perfect break in the work week in an informal atmosphere where you can bring friends or coworkers and make new connections. Join us from 12:15 to 12:45 every Wednesday. Check us out at downtownbible.org for more information or call us 1-800-935-3020. Now, while it's our joy to present this radio program and the resources on our website completely free of charge, we do want to remind you there's a significant cost associated with this ministry. We'd like to ask you to prayerfully consider supporting us financially. It's through the generous contributions of our listeners that we're able to continue broadcasting on this station. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
I thought to myself that I had to do many things hostile to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He was sincere in his persecution of Christians and his opposition to Jesus. Oh, mark that. Many people today assume, maybe you, just assume that as long as you're sincere. If you're thinking because you're sincere in your faith system or your belief system, you'll be okay because after all, as long as you're sincere, you are sincerely wrong.
Join us again next time as we continue our series from the book of Acts. Pastor Scott brings the message, Paul before Agrippa. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.